Stories from the Storm. Melissa in the Morning revisits Connecticut's historic flood. 1 year later, WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
And what was so unbelievable about this storm was the majority of the state was barely touched, got a trace of rain, maybe a couple of inches at best. But there were certain towns and cities that were rocked for good, and that included the Valley, Naugatuck Valley, certain areas of Fairfield County, and arguably one of the hardest hit towns here in Connecticut was Oxford. Joining us now is Oxford First Electman George Temple, and thank you so much for coming back on the show, George. Appreciate you. Take us back to August 18th and 19th. And certainly from your perspective as a first electman, what were you learning about in real time with this storm impacting your town?
Well, first of all, Oxford is not really a town that you would think would be subject to severe flooding. We basically very hilly, very rocky. It's more country than city. However, having said that, the Little River, which is really a big brook, definitely overflowed its boundaries that day. I was there. I was up to my knees in water. But what I saw was scarier. The Route 67 looked like the Colorado River. It was like a rapids going down there. And, of course, our first responders were there to help the people and evacuate the people. They saved over 80 people from their cars. Unfortunately, there were two that weren't saved, and we lost them, and we lost a part of our community.
I remember, George, that this was the first time you and I had connected professionally. I had never had you on the show, and I was sad that this was the reason that you had come on the show. But you were certainly, I think, as I mentioned in the beginning, one of the hardest hit areas. And talk about certainly, you know, from then to now, what you have seen happen in the town of Oxford. I think one of the bright spots in a very dark time was the fact that you've got a very resilient community there and people who really rallied around each other. But what has certainly changed in a year's time?
Well, I don't know if it was changed, but more or less exposed for what it was. Our town, we like each other, regardless of political affiliation, regardless of any of the other barriers that people seem to have in getting along. You know, where if you're from Oxford, you're family. And I learned that. Years ago when we had a tornado, you know, to watch this town come together and everybody, you know, helping their neighbors and even helping people they didn't even know in all sorts of manner. It was just it was really quite an experience. And I don't know how to put it in words other than I'm very proud. I'm very proud of the town. I'm very proud to live in this town because our people genuinely care. And I think it's evidenced by, if you look around today, there's hardly, we have one road that still hasn't been addressed because it's extremely difficult. We had to engineer a bank and select the proper materials, and we had to wait for the DEEP and the Army Corps of Engineers to clear it. So, but other than that, we're pretty well recovered, and with 6 new bridges and several banks that have been rebuilt, and of course the river has been cleaned up. So we're back to where we were, if not better than where we were, as far as the physical infrastructure is concerned. However, we'll never be whole as long as we lost two people. And that's one of the reasons why we're gathering today.
I was going to say, I know that there's going to be a dedication ceremony, which we're going to get to in one second. Again, we have First Selectman George Temple here from the great town of Oxford. And arguably, as I mentioned, Oxford was one of the hardest hit areas. Two private weather stations this time last year said Oxford measured 14.83 inches of rain, another saying 13.5 inches in a 24-hour span. Again, both shattering, though, Connecticut's previous state record, which was set on August 19th of 1955, now 70 years ago, which was just over 12 inches. You know, you had mentioned you're never going to be made whole again because you lost two people. No question. I'm curious, though, George Temple, are you finding that residents in Oxford are more nervous whenever there are reports of rain, things like that? I mean, has anything changed in the last year as far as making sure if there was another, you know, rain event to happen, that Oxford is better prepared? Again, this isn't something that was on the radar. This isn't something, as you said, Oxford had ever dealt with before. But has anything changed in that regard to make residents feel more at ease if another event were to occur?
Well, I think we've done everything that we can to ensure that something like this never happens again. But, you know, we're just humans. We're puny compared to nature. And, yes, it could happen again. You know, I saw myself, my attitude, every time I see a cloud, I get a little twinge. And you know, that was never the case. You know, we've gone through a lot of other things, and you know, that was relatively easy. But you know, even today it's a little overcast out, and I certainly hope it doesn't rain. Yeah. But it's something in the back of everybody's mind. You know, it was a very traumatic experience for the whole town.
Yeah. No, it certainly was. And George Temple, you had mentioned there's going to be a ceremony happening today. What's going on?
Well, we have a little area that we've dedicated to the memory of the two individuals who were lost in the flood, and also recognize the contribution of our public works and, of course, our firemen and the rescue and recovery effort, and to thank everybody, thank the volunteers, not just in Oxford. I mean, we had a fire company in Thomaston, who conducted a boot drive and contributed $20,000 to our flood relief fund. So, you know, there are just a lot of neighboring towns and cities throughout the state have reached out, and you know, they are definitely part of our community.
What time is that ceremony today?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock, and where will that be?
Right by town hall. By we have a little pond there,
okay.
And Kirk's Pond, and we will, you know, that the benches will be overlooking the pond. Both of the victims were they were really loved dogs, and the pond on the other side is the animal shelter.
Mm.
And in fact, we have a whole bunch of dogs that we recently acquired that were in there in the shelter waiting for adoption, and you know, it'd be very fitting.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, Oxford First Selectman George Temple, I want to thank you for coming on 1 year later and certainly taking us back to that really devastating time, seeing and hearing the stories of triumph and rebuilding, you know, bringing a lot of perspective on this anniversary. I want to thank you so much.
Well, fine. And once again, everyone is invited to attend today. And, you know, we hope to... We hope to have a little closure for the families and, of course, the town.
Yeah, I agree. Again, that's happening at 11 o'clock this morning in Oxford. George Temple, thank you so much for the work that you do for Selectman of Oxford.
Melissa in the Morning's look at last year's historic flood. Now, on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
And if you go to the state government website, it specifically mentions the town of Monroe. It says, in the incident overview of August 18th and 19th, peak rainfall amounts exceeded 3 inches of water per hour, 7 inches in 3 hours, in a band from the town of Monroe to the town of Oxford, some of the arguably hardest hit areas of our state. And joining us now is the first selectman of the town of Monroe, Terry Rooney. And Terry, take us back to those mornings. Obviously when the flooding was going on, but the mornings following, and just how devastating it was to the town of Monroe. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Alyssa. Thanks for having me. When I talk, I really like to start with the timeline. So, you know, it was a Sunday afternoon when it started raining. I want to say it started raining around 1 o'clock. And, I'm pretty in tune to nature. You know, I'm outside all the time. I'm in the woods. I like to fish. And I could smell the rain, and the rain just smelled different. And I called the Department of Public Works director, Chris Nowacki. I said, Chris, I said, this rain's coming down pretty hard. It has a different smell. I don't really know what's going on, but this doesn't sound good. He says, well, we'll keep an eye on it. This is what is expected, so on and so forth, because we get reports. Well, so I grabbed my wife and we got in the car and I said, I just want to go around and see how things are looking. And some of the normal places that flood and are actually designed to flood on Pepper Street, the water was already coming over. And, you know, I expected it to rain a little more and be a little worse than what we normally expect. By the time I got to town hall, fire departments were being released. There was talk about people being trapped. I mean, it flooded so quickly. We went down to the end of 111 near Stevenson Calbo Foods is over there, Zootopia, where we have Jam at the Dam, Mondo Septic, and the water was coming over the road about a foot deep. It seemed within 20 minutes, maybe a half hour, that water was 4 or 5 feet deep. We had emergency services coming in from all different towns, a lot of mutual aid, Shelton, Bridgeport, I believe Stratford, Norwalk. We had a ton of mutual aid come in. The problem is some of the vehicles that they used, the water was so swift, it was moving those vehicles. Mm. We actually had to bring in heavy equipment to hold on to a lull. A lull is what's used to lift lumber. It's a very heavy piece of equipment. We had excavators chained to that lull to save people on the Newtown border. They were stuck in their house because the excavators were the only thing that the water was not sweeping away. From that point, those people were rescued. We had people trapped in the water view. We managed to get them out, and then the damage just continued to happen. I mean, roads were being destroyed. You know, every 10, 15 minutes, something was collapsing. Something was breaking down. The culverts turned into high-pressure power washers. On 34, the water was so strong, it destroyed the road. It blocked off Lakeshore Drive-In. And a lot of sediment washed into the lake. Boats were everywhere. Cars were washed through these culverts, came from the top of the hill, Webb Mountain, came through the culverts out to the lake. We found full cars after the scene. It was tragic, but I got to tell you, our DPW, our emergency services, you really see when a town comes together, the services come together in times like this. The fire department, volunteer fire department, not paid, volunteer. They were there in force. And the amount of resources that they gathered in a short amount of time was nothing less than impressive. Mm. The police department, their hard work, controlling people because you get some hysteria. You know, people don't know what's going on. So the police department had to manage traffic control. You know, myself, I was out there moving barricades. And I know in my position, I wasn't supposed to be out there. But in a disaster situation, every hand helps.
I was going to say, all rules are sort of off the table. And actually, I'm glad you said that, Terry, because to that point, again, we have Terry Rooney here, the first electman of Monroe. Terry and I kind of go back a ways because Terry was previously a Bridgeport police officer. And he and I think one of the things I appreciate about you is the fact that you're very blunt. Now, I know some people don't appreciate that type of a personality. I really do. You were actually one of the first people, Terry. I'll never forget this because it's so your personality. And this is what I appreciate about you. I woke up the morning of August 19th. And of course, I get up at 3 a.m. to come to work. And one of the only text messages I got that essentially made us totally overhaul that Monday morning show into full blown coverage of this storm was yours. And you're like, hey, I'll just never forget it because it was so your personality. You're like, hey, I'm not going to tell you how to do your job, but are you aware of how bad this storm is? I'll never forget it because to me, it wasn't that bad in Milford. And you were one of the only people that had texted and was like, hey, I'm not trying to step on your toes and tell you how to do your job, but are you aware of how bad this is? And it then kind of was one of the biggest reasons that we then went wall to wall coverage and were like, whoa, this is huge. And to your point, when you saw what was going on in Monroe or Oxford or Seymour or, you know, really the Valley, Shelton, it really was unbelievable. Unless you were living in those towns, you really had no idea. I feel like the rest of us were sort of isolated and having no idea until you drove into or lived in those towns.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. The storm kind of came down the Housatonic there. And, you know, all the towns that kind of border Lake Soar, those were the towns that got hit because the storm kind of came down. And I think it was expected to somewhat just move right through, Melissa, and it stopped. And I guess, you know, water totals were in the area of 16 inches of rain in a short period of time, 3-4 hours. So towns like Seymour, Oxford, Monroe, I mean, we got annihilated. I mean, Seymour and Oxford got hit worse than we did. You could still go, you know, by the 84 underpasses and see water lines where the water was. But yeah, I mean, you know, I apologize if that it came across a little too blunt. But yeah, you know.
Oh, I don't apologize. No. No apology necessary. That's what I mean. I was glad that you said something because we had no idea. We had no idea.
Yeah, it's because it was kind of a select area. You know, it was right along that Housatonic River area there. And it was tragic. You know, what was really surprising about this storm is that everybody would think that the water from the flood would come down that tributary, you know, the Housatonic River into the lakes. But because the water was so heavy, we were getting, you know, that 16 inches of rain coming down from the mountain. It ripped apart people's driveways. I was driving up 111 from Zootopia there, and if you go uphill, it's a pretty steep incline. And there were 5-6 inches of water in the middle of the road coming down the road uphill. So you saw damage from in areas that would never have flood insurance. They would never even consider it. You know, I think Monroe is about 300 feet above sea level, give or take. You know, they're probably 400, 500 feet above sea level. I don't know what the exact number is. I never really checked that, but I know it's in that area. And they received flooding like you would never see. That rivers rerouted. You know, sides of hills came down. People lost their driveways. Their houses were hanging by a thread over cliffs. I mean, things you would never even imagine happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, the devastation and the ongoing work that happened after that. I mean, I don't know if you want me to get into this now, but the repair effort.
And we are continuing our chat with Monroe First Electman, Terry Rooney. Terry, you were mentioning, especially with your background in contracting and in building, the rebuilding effort for the town of Monroe was pretty unbelievable. Talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
So, Melissa, you know, obviously, when the situation is, I hear some music. Oh, there it goes. when the situation is occurring, of course, you've got your emergency services director, which in our town is Chief Keith White, who kind of operates the whole thing, as well as Kevin Catalano, who's our volunteer chief. So they did all those efforts and it really did a fantastic job keeping an unorganized situation as organized as possible. When that's over, you know, our EMS were involved, our police department, fire department. When that's over, DPW becomes the main approach because you have to repair roads. So at that point, as a leader, you have to make a decision. You know, everybody's kind of looking at you and saying, okay, which direction do we want to go? Are we going to sit? Are we going to wait for FEMA? Are we going to put up barricades? Or are we going to get to work? So obviously, you know, we're going to get to work on the smaller stuff. And then as I saw the damage, the DPW director, Chris Nowacki, and deputy director, Bill Phillips, came to me and said, listen, I think we have the manpower and the ability to rebuild our roads in a very short period of time if you allow us to rent certain equipment. And that's where my experience comes in. So I've run some of this equipment. I'm not an expert or master by any means, but I've been behind some of these larger excavators and know what they're capable of doing. But I also know the skill level it takes to run them. I can move them around. I could do little things. But some people are really masterful at this stuff. And I do have some friends that are very masterful with it. So I know what they can do. So I said, well, you know, I'm very interested in this approach. However, who can run them? They convinced me that they could run them. So we went ahead. We do have a disaster relief fund, which we've budgeted for, which is a smart move. It was about $500,000 we put aside just in case something like this happens. You never think it's going to happen. But when it does, you're glad to have a safe fall. So we went and rented the equipment. We went to work. And the work that was done by our people, oh, I'll tell you, it can bring tears to my eyes because it took, hold on, it only took about 8-9 days to get these roads back together. And I have pictures, and we have an actual remembrance party for them tonight to show them our appreciation of what they did. But man, wow. I mean, the whole thing was to get the roads ready for school, you know, so the parents were inconvenienced. And I think we had every single road except for Cottage Street done, and that was done the following day. So we almost hit that marker. We cleaned up every road, every damaged bridge. Even 34 was done within 14 days. The state got out and took care of the Manafort construction was just absolutely outstanding, got that done. So our roads completely within about 2.5 weeks were open and running. And the town roads themselves, it took about 8 days to get them together. And Melissa, I'll show you the pictures that we have. It is unbelievable the work they did. I mean, I just.
It's overwhelming. Yeah. No, it's overwhelming. Yeah. And you know, and I do want to let people know, is the dedication, you were saying the ceremony is, you said tonight, is that open to the public?
It is. I mean, so I didn't want it to cost, you know, taxpayer money. This situation that happened motivated a lot of why I did the foundation too, because there were people that I couldn't help with tax dollars, but you want to help them, you know? So I opened up the foundation to raise money to help some people in situations like this. And tonight, you know, the First Selectman Rooney Foundation is going to pay for a food truck, and, you know, we're going to do that. But this is the public can come. I mean, I set it up for 50 people. When we run out of food, we'll run out and get pizzas or something. But yes, of course, people are welcome for this. You know, it's mostly an in-house thing, but whoever wants to show up, I know the Monroe Sun did put it out in a little blurb in the paper. But yeah, I mean, it just, you know, and in the aftermath, you know, dealing with a Department of Homeland Security and FEMA and people crying out to you, what are you doing? How can you help? And it just rips your heart out. You know, you want to get to everybody. You want to do everything for everybody. And we were moving at a lightning pace, but still I wasn't happy with it. Like, I wanted things getting done faster, but you also have to put these things together critically. You can't just throw them together because then they fall apart down the line, you know. So you have to do a very good job. You have to stack the base of these roads correctly with the right rock and the right stone. And we got a lot of aggregate from Trumbull, who helped us out a lot. Our neighbors were fantastic. But, you know, so you can only do, and as fast as we were going, we still had to do it correctly.
Yeah.
You know, and that was difficult.
Yeah, that was the challenge. That was there among many, that was certainly the challenge of balancing certainly the needs of the residents, but also, you know, what was the reality going to be of rebuilding and having some sort of normalcy back. And Terry Rooney, I want to thank you obviously for your leadership, the work that you've continued to do, and for coming on the show to take a look back and show us where we are today in the town of Monroe. And I hope tonight's celebration is a beautiful one. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Melissa in the Morning's look at last year's historic flood. Now on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Unbelievable to see what was going on this time last year and how much we have rebuilt since then. And one of the hardest hit areas during August 18th and 19th of 2024 was Seymour. And joining us now back on the show almost a year later is Anne-Marie Druganis, who is the first select woman of Seymour. And Anne-Marie, thank you for being back on the show. This was the first time you and I had connected on air, was because of how hard the storm hit Seymour. Talk a little bit about this.
Good morning, Melissa. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, it was a year ago, right around this time today, a year ago, the flood had hit us, and it devastated the 67th corridor, you know, of the businesses, especially in the Claritas Plaza and Allen's Plumbing. You know, 67 was pretty much impassable all the way up to Southbury. Not only did it affect our plaza, the businesses in the plaza, but it affected the homeowners that lived on the side streets from traffic being rerouted. And it pretty much cramped our economic development down there from businesses closing. We had like 12 businesses in that plaza close, which were families that lived in or around Seymour. You know, the Patels, who owned the package store, their son was just leaving to go off to college in a couple of days. Mike A. from Route 67 Diner. You know, we were all worried when the storm, when the rain was here about 34 because of the river. Nowhere in my mind did I think ever that Route 67 would have been affected. Little River would have been affected by this storm, the stalled storm front, if you will.
I mean,
and here we are.
Yeah, I was going to say it was just the videos, the photos, the stories being shared out of Seymour were extraordinary. And certainly I felt like for each town that was impacted, I felt like there were certain stories that really stood out to me. In Seymour in particular, it felt like one of the names that kind of kept coming up a lot was the Claritas Village Shopping Plaza right off of Route 67. And obviously the name itself being connected to the political realm in Connecticut certainly stood out. But I felt like this was where a lot of press conferences were held at the federal level. The governor, I remember visiting this area. It felt like the local businesses, those were, you know, among obviously other headlines, probably some of the I'd say the most significant storylines that came out of Seymour. I don't know if you agree, Anne-Marie Druganis, again, the first elect woman of Seymour. But that stood out to me when I think of Seymour during this storm. It felt like the businesses were really highlighted as being, you know, most impacted.
Yes, the plaza flooded, right? And in that plaza, we have 12 businesses in that were impacted. We had, you know, Cast Iron Pizza, our Bushy Bob, the dry cleaner, you know, the dry cleaner, the Hallmark store, the diner, the quilter, the AD filter that's in there, the nail salon, the plaza, the USPS store that's in there, the Village Copiers, Ed's Point. So many businesses were affected by that flood in that center. And I think that's why all our attention were on that, because there were 12 businesses in there, including a bank, which was very little affected by this flood. It was the businesses and the families in there. You know, yes, it's the Claritas Plaza, but it's the families and the businesses that were affected. You know, Seymour has the plaza, and we have the 67 corridor, and we have our downtown and our industrial park. That is our economic development area. And Route 67 was affected by it, so that whole plaza was locked down, basically. Nobody can get in there. And I have to say, after past 2 weeks, it's nice to see, to drive by there and see all the cars in there and not the sea boxes, the sea containers filled with material from the diner, from the Hallmark store, the card store, from you know, all the other businesses in there. So it's nice to see those businesses are back up and running.
Mm-hmm. And again, Anne-Marie Druganis, who is the first elect woman of Seymour. My understanding is, you know, you mentioned the diner there, 67 Family Diner. It's officially reopening today, isn't it?
Yes, it was. You know, it's been open for a soft opening, but we are having their ribbon cutting today at 1 o'clock. So Mike is very excited about that. I'm very excited about that. The Hallmark store is going to be opening soon. And for those listening and so curious about the UPS store, that will be opening in about 4 weeks as well. So that diner, the plaza will be opening, or everything will be open by mid-October. So we're very, mid-September, sorry. So we're very excited about that.
And Anne-Marie, I'm curious, you know, another thing that really stood out with this storm was the timing of it was tough because we were talking about, unfortunately, being about a week and a half, not even 2 weeks out from the start of the new school year. What sort of happened with that? As you had mentioned, the flooding obviously impacting businesses, but also, you know, wreaking havoc for our roads. And I know there were plenty of detours and things like that as well in Seymour, impacting bus routes and the start of the school year. Certainly, it's a different feel for 2025.
Yes, now the feel for 2025 is Bungie Road, which is being redone. So it affected some of our bus routes, and, you know, working with the Board of Ed, working with the bus company, it worked out very well that I think we only missed like a couple of days of school. That was it. And we're able to get the kids back on their buses. We were fortunate that we didn't have a lot of washed out roads. The roads were like River Road that was washed out down here, Old Drive. You know, we were lucky, unlike Oxford, where we didn't have many bridges and many roads that were washed out. So it didn't really affect our busing as much as it did Oxford, Southbury, Monroe.
Yeah. And again, we have Anne-Marie Druganis here, who is the first electwoman of Seymour. Another thing, too, Anne-Marie, was that this was very unexpected for this area, you know, the corridor that was most impacted, and a lot of people, businesses especially, saying we didn't have flood insurance. Has anything significant had to change if, God forbid, something like this were to ever repeat? Did anything need to change in the last year for a lot of your businesses or even your homeowners?
We saw a spike in homeowner insurance go up. As far as flood insurance, you know, the insurance company still states that we are not, that is not a flood zone area. That was a 100-year flood. That was, you know, an act of God. We have to wait in order for the insurance companies to get an insurance, flood insurance, A, they have to ask for that for additional on their own. But FEMA has to really change where the flood zone is. And I believe that, you know, Holdley's Pond, we really need to work with Aquarion and the State Department of Environmental Protection and get that Holdley's Pond dredged. I think that is going to help a lot. By lowering the level of the pond will also help us. So it got a bit down the road should something like this happen again, but I hope to never see something like this again in my lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, you and many other people as well. Anne-Marie Druganis, I want to thank you again. And as you mentioned, there's a ribbon cutting that's happening this afternoon at the 67 Family Diner. Is there anything else that Seymour is doing you want to let people know about? Anything like that?
Well, you know, we're having a ribbon cutting at 1 o'clock at 67 Diner. Mike's having a DJ. You know, we just want everybody to know that we are working on our hardest to the UPS store to get their store up as well. You know what? I do want to end with this, Melissa. I love our town. That's why my husband and I chose to raise our daughter here. And we've been here 21 years. And the outpour of support from the community that came together for the businesses down there, total strangers may have never stepped into that plaza before. Total strangers may have never gone into any of the stores. But I have to say, between the residents, the high schoolers, all coming together, our football team, our soccer teams, everybody coming together to help, to move things, to clean up, it just made my heart so proud. You know, we kind of coined a phrase of we're a small town with a big heart. And whenever somebody is in need, we are there. So really, you know, I want to thank our residents, our first responders for being there, our fire department, our ambulance, even though we didn't really need the ambulance, but they were there helping with support, and our police department for being there, as well as our residents, first and foremost, for helping the businesses get the area cleaned out so construction could start immediately on there.
Yeah, Absolutely. And to your point, Emery, I love the stories of triumph and certainly community coming together. I think on a really dark day in Connecticut's history, the lights of hope and I'd say sort of the positive headlines, if you could find any, was, you know, like you were saying, football teams and surrounding neighborhoods, communities coming together and really rebuilding and showing, even if it was a small town, how big the heart really is. And so I thank you so much for sharing that here on WICC and for the continued great work that you do in Seymour. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Melissa.
You're very welcome. Again, that is First Elect Woman Anne Marie Dragonis for Seymour right here on WICC.